Indeed, I'm learning that when the Word of God is the motivating factor in your life, Amen. No one needs to tell you what time it is when it comes to serving the Lord. Amen. But see, that doesn't come overnight. That comes from a regular diet of the Word of God. That comes when an individual is willing to surrender his will to the will of the Father. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, if any man desires to come after me, must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, Jesus said, shall find it. And he raises a question, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. Church, I don't know about you, when I stop and think about Jesus and why he came to earth, he came specially to save me.
Amen.
Amen. He'd save you too if you want him. But he came to save me. An old wretched sinner that I was, he could look down the court of time and knew that I would need a Savior.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, I don't take that relationship to him lightly. Just like I'm serious about my relationship to my wife, I'm even more serious about the relationship that I have with my God. I'm willing to lay down my life for him. And I know some of y'all saying, okay, let me pull out some and see if you'll lay it down. Because see, that's the true test of who we say we are. And somewhere down the line, you have to be convinced in what you believe in. I don't put this on Sunday morning and take it off on Wednesday. No, this is something I live 24/7, 7 days a week. Does that mean I do everything right? Pretty much. Can I get a witness? And neither do you. But what makes me perfect is knowing that God sent a Savior. And that Savior came for one purpose. And that purpose was to save mankind. He came to redeem man back to his Father. In John chapter 3, in round about verse number 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have what?
Everlasting
life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Paul would say to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, Paul said, God demonstrated how much he loved mankind, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. Church, if that don't motivate you, check your pulse. Because you might not be on this time side of life. You might be, what they call that? The walk. Amen. Because somewhere down the line, as God's people, we wake up. We become alive in knowing what God requires of us. Matter of fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and chapter 13, it is time, it is high time that we wake out of our sleep. And you look at that word sleep, talks about a stupor. You ever been in a stupor? I get that way when I watch Gunsmoke. Feed my face, you know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, I'm watching Gunsmoke, but really Gunsmoke is watching me.
Yeah.
How many of us as children of God are in that same boat? Somewhere down the line, church, we got to wake up and understand who we are. We've been saved for a purpose. And the purpose we've been saved for is to redeem man back to the Father.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us and committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given you and I marching orders.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Friday, my son took an oath that he would defend the Constitution of the United States. But he took an oath way before then. It's when he went in that water to be prayed.
Right.
That he said, I would stand for Jesus and I would do what he commands. See, that supersedes any other oath that you may take. And you know what? If you've been in the watery grave, those of us who are members of the body of Christ,
It's best that you don't know the truth than to know it and to turn from it. Peter said it'll be like the true proverb. A dog will turn to his vomit, and a pig, after you clean him up, will go right back in the mud. What are you saying? You better get on track. Look at the world we live in. The world has no clue to which direction they're headed. You look at TV and it is just it's a mess. This one got killed. They're hitting people. They're killing folk left and right. And what are we doing? Just tiptoeing through the tulips. Why is that? Because we really don't understand that we've been saved to redeem man back to the Father. And I'm going to show you something I've been looking at. We've been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. Text this morning, Ephesians chapter 2, and round about verse number 8. Paul writes these words to the church at Ephesus to encourage their hearts and to remind them that you've been saved, not because you deserve to be saved. You've been saved because God needs you and I to reconcile this old world back to himself. And see, until we make the difference in our household, amen, walls, amen, you'll never ever make a difference in the community in which you live in or with the people you come in contact with. We are supposed to be the light of the world.
Amen.
But how dark are we? You know, they got some lights now that are better than a bulb. They call LEDs. I'm working on a lesson. Are you an LED? Or are you just a regular watt? I'll leave that alone for a later day. But you're somewhere down the line. The child of God has to understand, I have been saved for a purpose. That S there stands for saints. We're saints. We've been called out of darkness to a marvelous light. We have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You lost your key? Huh? You know how we put key in a drawer and forget where we put it? I'm famous for that. How many of us as saints have lost the keys to the kingdom? The lack of studying, the lack of meditation, the lack of praying. See, saints understand that they've been called for a purpose. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. You ever get somebody gave you a gift? We call it a white elephant. You ever got one of them?
Yeah.
What do you do with that white elephant? Anywhere but where you can see it, right? Church, we've been given a gift because we've obeyed from the heart, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Because we've been added to the body of Christ, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Because of our relationship to God, he calls us saints. And as saints of God, what are we going to do? It's not your doing. It's a gift that comes from God himself. Listen to these words that Paul would say to those of us who are called saints. See, we are called out of darkness into a marvelous light. Colossians chapter 1 and round about verse number 13. The Bible says, for he has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, when you go to Colossians chapter 1 verse number 2, Paul says to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, we are saints, and the saints of God need to learn how to act like the saints of God. We live in a world that needs each and every one of us to step up to the plate.
Amen.
Amen. Somewhere down the line, you got to quit tiptoeing through the tulips and understand what God really requires of us. Do the world need some help?
Amen.
Well, how many of y'all need some help? Some of y'all are looking at me like you need some help. I just stopped by this morning to show you the best help in the world is right here in front of you. You know that one that sits on your table that you never pick up? This guy probably about that much dust. But let me tell you, I'm coming by, boy, that gets cleaned off real quick and it's open up to a certain page. I'm just a man. It's God that's going to hold us accountable. We are saints, and as saints of God, God has delivered to you and I something very, very precious. In Jude 1, and round about verse number 3, Paul writes these words to remind those saints there that God has delivered to us something very, very precious. And what he's delivered to us is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is in that gospel that men can come out of darkness into a marvelous light. It is in that gospel that you and I, if we get out of the way, we'll act like saved folk. Amen. You know, you remember the story I told you about the parrot? Remember that? Man had a parrot. Took the parrot to church. And he said, all right, church folk, church folk. Took the parrot to the bar. All right, church folk in the bar. The saved has to act like the saved. We have to make the difference. If we don't make the difference, church, there is no difference. Folks are looking for some answers. We got them. But until they penetrate yourself, you can forget about talking to someone else. He's given us the keys to help men out of darkness into a marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and roundabout verse number 2. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That might be 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. But it's in Peter. If you know your Bible, you can find it. Amen, Walls. Jude chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto who? The saints. What did God deliver to you and I? He gave us his word that is able to save the souls of men. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. See, the saint has to understand his calling. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 7. Colossians chapter 1 verse number 4. The saint must understand that he's been called out of darkness and he has been delivered the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the saint has to have an attitude.
Amen.
Amen. Henry and I have been on this attitude kick. Why? Because we got some bad folks in the church, got some bad attitudes. Not y'all, but I'll talk to the wall, but y'all looking at me funny. Got some bad attitudes. Who told you you can come when you feel like it? I didn't think so. Show me in the Bible that you can give when you want to give. I didn't think so. And who told you that your life doesn't make the difference in someone else's life? I didn't think so.
No.
Attitude. See, I'm going to show you that the saint's attitude is God is first and foremost. Matthew chapter 6, round about verse 30 and following. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. See, the saint's attitude comes from the mind of Christ. Until you develop the mind of Christ, this right here will never, ever change.
Nope.
Amen. How do you love someone that's unlovable? How do you love someone that constantly stabs you in the back? Y'all quiet. I know I'm on the right nerve. How do you really live up to being a saint? It's the attitude. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Jesus had an attitude when it came to serving the Father. Jesus' attitude was, I always do the things that please my Father. John chapter 6, verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus' mindset was totally different than our set because Jesus understood something about who he was. How about y'all this morning? This ain't costing you nothing, but if you go out here and get one of these psychologists, I think the average price now is about $150, $175. An hour. I ain't even been an hour and you're getting it for free. I know. When you pay for something, you feel like you've done. Come on now. See, the saint's attitude comes from the mind of Christ. But in the process of the mind of Christ, the saint must understand and follow the example that Jesus followed. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered.
Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. See, the attitude the saint has to have is Christ's mindset. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Although he was, that's not it. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself. How many of y'all really make yourself a slave? I didn't think so. Hands ain't going up. But guess what? When you're winning the war, that's what you are. You're a slave to do the will of the Father. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. He humbled himself. Wow. That's what's wrong with saints. We're not humble. We're some of the most arrogant, the most puffed up, the most self-centered, self-seeking. Not y'all. So y'all smile. But if I'm down your street, how you doing? Somewhere down the line, the attitude of the saint has to change. Two commandments. And we have a hard time doing those. Two. Anybody know it?
Love God and love neighbor.
Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And we have a hard time doing that. Until the attitude change, you'll never live up to your sainthood. See, there's some people in the world that talk about you got to be voted into sainthood. Mm-hmm. Amen, Walls. I got my sainthood when I went in the water. Whether you like it or not,
that's right.
I'm a saint.
That's right.
And guess what? I try to live like a saint. I don't do everything perfect, but I know how to be perfect.
Amen.
Right here in this book. I have been justified by the blood of Christ. So therefore, my mindset, my attitude is totally different. I want to show folks that I have some answers to your problems. You want to know what your problem is? You're not truly a saint until you surrender. Amen. When you surrender your will to the will of the Father, it'll change your attitude. And see, and when you have the proper attitude, the V,
you live like you victorious.
Come on, y'all. Y'all, this ain't nothing new. I don't know about you. I act like I got the world in both of my hands and worry about nothing. Why? Because I got the victory in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, Paul says, if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, I'm not worried about it. I got a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. John chapter 14 verses 1 through 6, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. What are you worried about? I got a house not made with hands.
Amen.
And you know what? The older I get, the more I can see the mansion. I got my name engraved on one of the doors. How do I know that? What does this say? Keep yourself free from the love of money. Be content with what things that you have. For God has said. And you know something? When God says something to me, I listen. God has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So, see, some of y'all need to learn how to sow. So, we say, with what?
Confidence.
That's what's wrong with most saints. You ain't got no confidence. And the lack of faith will produce a lack of confidence. I'm confident that if I die right now, yeah, you can go on and cry. You can go ahead and prepare to bury me. But don't worry about me. Because I got a promise from God himself.
Amen.
That he would take care of me. That's what a saint understands. That attitude. And then it shows in his victory. You know, the world we live in wants to see victorious people, don't they?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
We got some heroes that come from overseas and we call them victorious. When I look around and see some of the graves. Well, y'all got smudged. I've been dying
yeah.
That stuff. When I look around and I see some of the graves holding fast to God's unchanging hand, having words of encouragement instead of words to put somebody down. When I look at the older saints being steadfast and unmovable, that tells me that I can be victorious also on this time, Salabah. See, we've put value in the wrong places. My value
is centered in what God has promised. And that promise is he'd never leave me, nor would he forsake me. And therefore, I'm not afraid of anything. Now, don't misunderstand that. I ain't no fool. Okay? But I understand that no matter what transpires, God stands supreme. See, the saint must live a victorious life. That victorious life is played out in what he or she believes. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. But thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always. That's the problem with most saints. You're not always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, when it comes to your business, do you slack?
No.
Oh, you don't. Because that's your business, right?
Right.
But when it comes to the Lord's business, you have to think about it.
Amen.
You have to pray about it. And then most of the time, you don't do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
See, the saint understands that the victory that I have is played out in my everyday life. Therefore, I'm like the wise man Solomon. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I trust in the Lord. I lean not to my own understanding. And all my ways I acknowledge him. And guess what he does? He directs my path. He directs my path in such a way that I depend on him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 26. Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. That individual goes beyond the physical and really understands that God is with him no matter what transpires. He lives his life in such a way that it draws individuals to the cross merely by the life in which we see it. See, I'm a firm believer that if we really live this every single day, I mean just live it. Nice to your neighbors. Half of you don't even speak to them. Nice to your family. Half of you don't speak to your family. I turn around. If we live this, just live it. You know when we open our mouths, we would blow people away? Because the mouth and the lifestyle must be in harmony. But that's the most difficult part of being a Christian. But we must live a victorious life. Look at 1 John chapter 5, real quickly. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14. John says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that he has the petition that we desire of him. John says we ought to have confidence. See, and confidence is played out in a victorious life. That victorious life that I live on this time side of life have me looking for eternity. That's right. I don't know about you. I know one day the worms are going to get me. I already know that. The bugs have been calling my name. And I know one day I'm going to give up the ghost. But I'm not worried about it because as a saint, I have a place eternal in the heaven. John chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus says, for he came not to condemn, but to save mankind. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to show you some words that encourage us, to remind us that we have the victory, church, and as saved individuals, we must live our lives in such a way that it brings glory and honor back to the Father. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at round about verse number 17. Paul says, for our light afflictions is but for a moment. I guess that's what motivates me. I know one day I'm going to die and I'll be gone forever. I know that. Why? Because there's so many folks that have gone on before me. But Paul says, our light afflictions. This ain't nothing down here. Die without the Lord. Boy, you see how hot it might be. He says, but our light afflictions is but for a moment. Worketh for us a more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, somewhere down the line, the saint focused on eternal salvation. And that only comes when an individual really takes the time and understand who he or she is. Romans chapter 6, verses 23, for the wages of sin is death, but thanks be to God that gives us a victory. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12. I said all of that to remind the saints that we have been saved.
Amen.
Now the day. If you don't act like you're saved, if you don't live up to what you believe, damnation is the thing that's left. And I want to encourage even each and every one of us, let's not get caught up in the elements of this world, that damnation is not part of our everyday life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 8, Paul says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not his gospel. I don't know about you, I take the D off of my saved.
Amen.
Damnation is not part of my vocabulary. But in case you miss being a saint, in case your attitude is off, in case you don't act like you have the victory, in case you can't see eternity, damnation is what's going to follow. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Want to encourage each and every one of us. We are saints.
Amen.
We've been saved for the purpose of saving mankind. Want to encourage those of you that's within the sound of my voice. Stop and think about if he's called you right now. What would he say to you? Would it be well done? I don't mean well done like a steak. Would it be well done, thou good and faithful? See, you can't be good unless you're faithful. You can't be faithful unless you're
good.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Or will it be, depart? It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. Those of you that are visiting this morning that may not be part of the body of Christ, want to encourage you to stop and think about your soul's salvation. You've heard the gospel this morning. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The question is, do you believe what I said? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says you need to repent of your sin, Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Tell your nay, except you repent, you perish. The Bible says you must confess that Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Jesus says, confess me before men, and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men. And Jesus said, I'll deny you before my Father. All of that brings us unto salvation. You're not saved until you get into the watery grave. Contrary to popular belief, baptism places one into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now. Namely, baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. And then he adds us to the body, to the church, that you can read about in this book. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22. Whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing. Our